Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking to Patsy McGonigal, our athletics correspondent, as Mark Williams and Kelly McGrory get set for action at the European Championships. We also hear from the latest Donegal jockey who's making big waves across the water on the horse racing front. That is Brandon Walkie. Donegal senior ladies team manager John McNulty will be joining us shortly to preview Donegal's opening All-Ireland Championship fixture, which is against Kerry this weekend. But before that, we're going to focus in on a football. Van Harps and Derry City have fixtures this coming weekend. With Derry taking on Galway, Harps, of course, are in action away from home on Friday night against Cove. The cup draw for the second round of the FAI Senior Cup was made today, and also to talk a wee bit international football. We're joined now by our regular contributor, former Fun Harps player, Joe Boyle. Joe, you're welcome to the programme.
Hi, Oisin. Good evening.
Good to talk to you, Joe. But before we chat League of Ireland, maybe we'll mention the Republic of Ireland. Good win for them against Hungary on Tuesday night, a 2-1 victory. Is John O'Shea now the man for the Republic of Ireland job off the back of that?
I would have said it before, even after the two defeats in their previous matches, I would love to see John O'Shea come in and take over as manager. You know, he brings a lot of qualities as a player, but, you know, he brings a lot of qualities in as a manager. I know he doesn't have the experience, but I like him. I have good time for him. I like the way his teams has been set up in the three matches so far. And he seems to have got the boys playing. Maybe last Tuesday night's performance wasn't the best. Maybe we were better in the other matches, and I think he highlighted that in his own comments after the match, where, you know, some players have been off a week, some have been off 2 or 3 weeks, and that might have been reflective in some of their performances. But I think for John and for Ireland, and the key thing, maybe it's just been bias being from Donegal, but having Seamus Coleman on the pitch is a huge, huge thing for any manager. And, you know, you could see last night when they scored, celebrations with John and Seamus. And, you know, for me, I think that dynamic there, if we could get that, would certainly won us a few more matches than we've been winning in the past few years.
Yeah. Well, Joe, as we know earlier today as well, the FAI Senior Cup second round draw was made, and a sort of mixed one for Northwest sides. First of all, we'll start with the FAI Junior Cup champions, who are Cockhill Celtic. They were hoping for a home tie. That didn't materialise. They've got a tough one, having to go to Waterford in the second round.
Oh, that's a horrible draw for Cockhill, having to travel all the way to Waterford. Waterford in a really rich vein of form at the minute. And, you know, that's a difficult tie for Gavin and the lads in Cockhill. They'll be disappointed. I'm sure they would have loved a Cockhill home tie up in Buncrana, up in Cockhill, to get the big crowd out there and cheer them on. But that's a tough, that's as tough a draw as you'll get now with Waterford going so well in the Premier Division.
Yeah. As for Harps, they have a long trek as well. It's back to Cork for them. Cork City, not the draw that they wanted.
No, more air miles for Harps up and down the road, and that's a difficult one. And, you know, Cork are going well as well at the minute, and that'll be a tight one for Harps there. And again, just looking and seeing how it falls into their fixtures in the coming weeks as well. They could be up and down that road another couple of times as well, which will be even more difficult for them.
And one of the standout ties is involving Derry City taking on St. Pat's. Their old manager, Stephen Kenny, is coming back to the Brandywell, but in a competition this time around. And Stephen Kenny has a love affair with cups, so he has.
Yeah, and again, you know, both these teams would have been looking to do well in the FAI Cup, and Stephen in particular, because you don't see him collecting any silverware in the league. In fact, survival in the league would be one of the key things at the minute. And Rory, and, you know, we know how well Derry do in the Cup as well, and, you know, it'll be a disappointing draw for both teams. They'd have been hoping to get somebody a little bit easier than they've got, but the advantage to Derry is they're at home in the Brandywell, and that's a huge advantage for Derry going into that match.
Yeah. Well, some of the other standout ties, Bohemians taking on Shamrock Rovers. There's a Louth derby. Drogheda United taking on Dundalk. Cove Ramblers are playing host to Kerry as well. Just some of the big games in the Cup. The full list of fixtures is available on our website, highlandradio.com. But moving on now, Joe, and looking ahead to the Finn Harps fixture this coming Friday night. They're on the road. It's another long trek. They're down in Cove, and they, of course, can prove and have proven to be sticky fixtures for Harps in the past.
Yeah, but if you look at if Finn Harps go to Cove this week, they've got to go to Turner's Cross to Cork. They've got to go to Limerick to play Treaty. They're in Wexford, away to UCD, away to Athlone, and then away to Cork and Kerry in the 1 week. And this is all before the end of the season. So I think the Finn Harps players, through no fault of their own, have certainly gained a lot of respect with the mileage that they've put up this season. And the performance that they've put up as well on the road, you know, they've got some decent results on the road. Yes, they've had a couple of tricky ones as well. But, you know, I think the players and the staff at Finn Harps deserve great credit for the amount of mileage that they've put up. And trying to recover from a trip like that isn't easy, having to go out and play then. You know, like this week, they had to play two matches in a couple of days. But, you know, to have to play every week after that mileage has certainly been a tall order for the team this season.
Yeah. But they are in good enough shape, do you feel, Joe, that they can go to Cove and win on Friday night?
Yeah, I was at the Wexford match and I was very impressed by them. Yes, Wexford had a couple of half chances, but I thought their patterns of play and how they moved the ball, and, you know, the pitch was a lot better in Finn Park on Friday night. And then I got to see a little bit of the match against Athlone on telly. And, you know, that goal from Patrick Ferrier on Monday night is a big, big goal. It keeps Athlone and keeps them right together in that mix there, in that playoff position. Like, you know, Harps are right in there. They're just a little bit off it. You know, they haven't lost any ground at Lone, and, you know, that's important. And in the coming weeks, they've got UCD coming as well. So it's they've got a couple of big matches coming up. And if you could try and go to Cove now and just stay in the hunt in Cove, because they've been up and down. You know, they've had a mixed bag now in the last while in relation to winning and drawing matches. You know, They've had one or two really good performances. Like, they went to UCD and they got a result against UCD where they beat them 2-1, and they've got a couple of beatings, but they've been getting a lot of draws as well. So, you know, if Harps could just get a performance and put it together like they have over the last couple of weeks, you know, I'd be hoping that they will do it. But it is a big ask. You know, they played Friday, they played Monday, and now they've got to travel to Cove. And, you know, the last big away trip was to Kerry, and That's challenging for him. But, you know, Murphy and the players are in a good position. And he did rotate a few of the team from Friday to Monday. So I think using the squad now on Friday down in Cove will be key to try and keep it as fresh as possible.
Yeah, but Harps will feel that the old Cove won, because they haven't beat them this year and they've lost both of their encounters so far in the league.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And I think they'll certainly, the players and, you know, the management will want to be putting that right. And, you know, that's just where Cove are, where, depending on where they are the week before or what's happening, you know, they've had a couple of really good performances. They've been up and down. Harps have been definitely the more consistent team. And, you know, I think that's been reflected in, you know, Harps have won 8 and drawn 5 of their matches. Is where, when you look at Cove, they've won 5, drawn 7 and lost 7, and that's the difference between the two teams at the minute. That Harps have that ability to turn maybe a draw into a win or a loss into a draw, and that's probably why Harps are further up the table than Cove at the minute.
Yeah, Cove they won their last game against Kerry. They drew the 3 before that, and they lost then on the 10th of May to Cork City, and before that they won actually 2 games on the bounce. So they've started to find form, I suppose, over that period of the last 5 to 6 weeks. So they have, Joe.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Cole, where, you know, they'll have 1 or 2 weeks where they're a little bit off it, and then somebody who you would think should be beaten will beat them, and then they bounce back then, and it goes back, and they go back to that game against UCD. I've seen a little bit of that as well, where on the telly, where, you know, they got a result there, and you would never expect them to get a result, because it just come off a game against a Cork, or they played Cork the next week and got beat 3-0, and the previous week they had beaten Bray. So they've been up and down, and they're hard to predict, and that's probably a bigger challenge for Finn Harps this week, is what Cove will turn up.
Yeah, and just finally on the Finn Harps, before we look at the other game, as you mentioned there, Darren Murphy is rotating the squad. He's using a lot of young players, so he has over the last number of weeks. And Joe, I suppose you have managed teams at youth level, and there's quite a few of them now involved in the senior squad. And the young guy, Gavin McAteer, just 15 years of age, produced a super cross for that goal for Patrick Ferry. Is this a good position that Darren Murphy is putting the club in by utilising these younger players at this stage in the First Division?
Yeah, it is. Like, when you look at Gavin, it's great to see him coming in. Like, Gavin's been a talent since he was 11, 12 years of age, and, you know, he's still very, very young, but there's no doubt in his ability. And, you know, for me, bringing Gavin on in the last 15, 20, 25 minutes of matches now, when the game opens up a bit, he's got the quality and the class to open teams up. And, you know, I think special mention must go to Sean O'Donnell, where he's been brilliant, and so has Mac Johnson in the last couple of weeks, where they've put in big, big performances. Aaron McLaughlin came back into the team as well. And these young lads all have one thing in common. They're all bushing with pace. They've got really, really good speed. They've got a good touch. And they're playing with no fear, you know. These young lads are playing with no fear. And, you know, just watching the older fellas, and, you know, Tony will not thank me for that, but, you know, Tony and Colley, Stephen Doherty and Ryan Rainey in the middle of the field, you know, they give them an out ball all the time. And with success, Edigan up there as well, you know, they're getting a good balance, and they are utilising the young players, and they're bringing them in and out. And, you know, it has been very, very good for them. And, you know, hopefully it'll keep going, and that style of play that they have at the minute, where they're bringing in the young lads and rotating them in and out, it's very, very positive. And, you know, Connor Walsh as well is another young lad, along with Darren Coyle. You know, they've all done well, and the older players are giving them that ability to go on and play, and giving them that confidence to go on and play. So, you know, at the minute, things is very, very positive in Finn Park when you look round the squad.
So the rest of the fixtures in the First Division this weekend, Harps, as we know, down at Cove Ramblers, will have updates from Tom Stafford, as from the 7:45 kickoff down in Cove. Athlone are hosting Wexford. Treaty United take on Bray Wanderers. UCD are hosting Kerry FC, and the leaders Cork City play Longford Town on Saturday night. Let's go to the League of Ireland Premier Division. Now, the Bows or Shamrock Rovers are in action this coming Friday. There is four fixtures down for decision. Among them, at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, Derry City playing Galway United FC. We talked about Finn Harps owing Cove one. There's no doubt Derry, they'll be looking to get back at Galway on Friday night. Galway, of course, in recent weeks took a victory against the Derry side, handing them the defeat that their manager at the time wasn't too impressed with, Joe.
No, and again, we know very well what Galway brings. We know we have plenty of years of experience with Ollie and Balbuffet, and, you know, he's brought that down with him down to Galway, and with John Caulfield, they certainly have Galway ticking. And this will be a really, really tricky game for Derry here. You know, they've come off the back of a couple of good performances there. I know they've had two draws against Dundalk and Sligo, but generally they've been playing quite well. And, you know, that Premier Division at the minute is really, really tight. And with Shamrock Rovers not playing, there's a great opportunity for Derry to put a few more points into them. And points in the bag is very, very important. I know they've got a bad injury blow on Monday night, is it? When Patrick McElhenney's picked up another injury, it looks like to be quite serious. So hopefully Patrick will be back. But, you know, Derry are in a good position, but I wouldn't be taking much money out of my pocket this weekend and putting money on them to beat Galway. The way Galway have been going, they've been very, very stubborn against all the top teams, and, you know, they're going well there. They've won 7 of their 18 matches. They've drawn 6, and, you know, they've been really, really difficult to play against.
Yeah, they've been difficult to play against, and no doubt they will be putting in a stubborn performance come Friday night again. But Derry are going into the game off the back of probably what was one of their best performances of the season against Waterford, Joe.
Yeah, they were flying now. They and that's the thing with Derry. When Derry get going and cut loose at you, and again, it's trying to get that balance that they've got some really, really positive attacking players, but against the top teams, then it's just having that balance of getting enough of the ball and being able to set up Michael Duffy and set up Pat Hoban and getting those players on the ball in the right areas of the pitch, because again, they have been conceding a few goals, and that's something that would be a concern for Rory Higgins this week, that he's got to try and keep that back door closed. Like, they've been conceding, they've scored 30 and they've conceded 18, and you know, that's going to be a worry for them. Where you need, if you're going to win the Premier Division title, you're going to have to tighten up the back line. Like, you can't keep scoring threes and fours every week to bail out the team there. So it's going to be important that they keep the defence tight.
Yep. Let's look at some of the other fixtures. We've got Strahd United against St Patrick's Athletic. Obviously, Stephen Kenny under a bit of pressure there at St Pat's already in his early weeks in charge. But Shelburne suffered a rare defeat in their previous fixture against Sligo. They currently lead Derry City by 2 points at the top of the table. Their match against Dundalk at Tulk on Friday, is that a nail deal game for them to try and get back on the winning horse again?
Yeah, definitely. And again, they're at home and in Tulk Park. And you know, if you're going to win the league, you've got to be winning those matches. But again, Dundalk have been up and down, and they've changed their manager again. John Daly's come in. He's got a super result against Pats this week as well. So they'll be full of confidence. They've got off the bottom of the table. And when you look at it, they're only 7 points behind St. Pat's with two games in hand. So, you know, they get anything out of this game, then that puts them in a really strong position to start climbing up the table. Again, Dundalk have got a really, really solid squad there. And if they can get themselves geared up and firing, then they could cause Shelburne some problems. But I have watched Shelburne. I've enjoyed watching Shelburne this season. They've been really, really good in the matches that they've played. And again, you know, Damien Duff has been a huge addition to the league. And from our own point of view, from Donegal, we're looking at Mark Coyle, and when he plays, Shelburne are a better team. He gives them that dynamic energy that he has in around the middle of the field, and he's been a huge positive for Shelburne this season.
Yeah, he certainly has. One other fixture, Waterford against Sligo Rovers. Waterford losing out to Derry City in their previous fixture. But if we look at Sligo Rovers, Joe, just finally, they're probably one of the form teams in the last couple of weeks, because they beat St Pat's, they drew with Derry, and then they beat Shelburne. Three big results for the Showgrounds side, and they'll be looking to carry that to the RSC on Friday against Waterford.
Yeah, and again, you know, John Russell has done a great job there, because I would imagine on most people's list, John would have been one of the managers who'd have come under real pressure before the season started, where there was a lot of players had left. You know, speaking of Gavin McAteer, his young cousin has come on, Shawnee's come on and played for Sligo last week. So the McAteers are certainly making an impression in the Northwest. And again, John has done that, where he's blended the team with some experienced players and the energy and the enthusiasm of young players there at Sligo. And, you know, if they get a result there this week down against Waterford, then they're right up into that European contention. And again, depending on how things go in the Brandywell, it's possibility the Sligo could possibly end up fourth by the end of the weekend.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, listen, as always, we appreciate you joining us on the programme, and enjoy the football over the coming weekend.
Thanks, Archie.
Always good to talk to Mr. Joe Boyle, and time now for a commercial break here on the Score programme tonight, so you can join us for more coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
So then, you're welcome back to the Score programme. We're turning our attention to athletics, and European Championships get underway on Friday, and the Northwest interest in Rome is coming in the form of Mark English, who runs in the 800-metre heat tomorrow, Friday. And we've also got Kelly McGrory in action in the relay team, plus in the 400-metre hurdles as well. To look forward to the event, we're joined by our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal. Patsy, very good evening.
Good evening, Nashin.
And I suppose Mark's starting tomorrow morning, Friday. Mark, in recent weeks, has been putting in some good times in relation to season bests, and along the way he was getting quicker after every event. So how's he poised now heading into the qualifiers, to the heats now tomorrow morning, Mark? Or Patsy, sorry.
Well, he has to be, well, in fairness, Nashin, he has to be gain great confidence from from his run in Oslo, which was the season's best, close to his personal best and Irish record, in fact. So, you know, he has to be confident. He has, and you know, he's going to run on the championship European level that he has, you know, great pedigree in. I mean, he's medals on numerous occasions at European level, but the task tomorrow morning is first round, get out of the first round, into the semi-final, and then it's a different ball game. You know, so look, we can't look beyond tomorrow morning and getting out of the first round.
Yeah. Does Mark need to run quicker now this year than he's done at any other stage over the last couple of years if he is going to become a contender and be in a final?
Oh, I'd say so. I'd say, well, you see, that the answer to that, obvious answer to a point would be yes. But in championship athletics, it's not sometimes about the fastest time. It's about how the race progresses, how the race breaks down. And we find that, you know, people don't run personal best in championship races. So, look, let's deal with what we do know. And what we do know that he's in good form. He's progressed extremely well since he opened the season in China. It's been really went well from Spain. And he ran a very strong 400 metres not so long ago up in Belgium. And he's been really out there in Europe. And he's certainly got a plan in his head. And that plan is working so far. So I have no doubt that his intention is to get out of that first round and move on to the semi and onwards from that.
Yeah, and I suppose too as well, experience is telling. Patsy, he's medalled twice at the Europeans before, has medalled at the European indoors as well. And I suppose as you get a wee bit older, Mark was probably saying he's got a wiser head on him now when it comes to major competitions.
No, well, he's a very experienced athlete. You know, he's been at a very, 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 very serious level in the sport for 10 years, which is unbelievable, you know. And I mean, he's taken on so many different challenges and achieved. So experience, yes. It won't be all that daunting for him. He's been there time and time and time again. And, you know, he'll be mentally in good shape.
Moving on to Kelly McGrory. I suppose what's the hopes of the Tyrconnell athlete for these Europeans, Patsy?
Well, you know, if she could get under 57, if she'd get a new PB, you know, she was a late call-up to the team based on rankings and points and that. She wasn't on the original selection in terms of the 400 hurdles. She was included in the relay squad, of course, and that's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And brilliant particularly in view of the Olympics beyond these European Championships. So, you know, it's just such an exciting season for her. And she's done unbelievably well running low for 52s and for 400 metres. So, look, she's, again, her plan has worked to this point, and but an answer to your question, Oisin, she has just got to get under 57. You know, she's 57.2 or something at the moment, and that's a Donegal record. That's a personal best. That's a good time, but she needs to get, you know, a good result for her would be sub 57, and moving forward, time's improving, and she's out there for the relay if required as well.
Could we see both Mark and Kelly being at the Games next month in Paris in the Olympics, Patsy?
Yes, I think we could. You know, I mean, obviously, as it stands at the moment, Kelly's in good shape for that 4x4. Her ranking is strong. Everything going according to plan. Yes, the answer is yes. And Mark, at the moment, he hasn't got the official qualifying time, but he's in a ranking position. So, you know, and these championships will improve his ranking position. So, yes, the answer is yes. You could see both of them at the Olympic Games.
Just finally, then, back to the Europeans. What's the realistic medals hopes of the Irish over the next week or so, Patsy?
Well, I'd say Ciara McGeen has really, you know, you saw how she ran a really big, big, big Irish record there. And then you have Adelecki, who's running so, so well. She's going on the 400 metres. And then there's been so much talk about relay teams. There's a possibility for an Irish relay team to get medals. So those are the three focused kind of events that you might expect at medals. Relay, 4x4. Whether it's mixed or whether it's the women's 4x4. And then it depends a lot on Adelecki. It depends so much on her, because she is, in fact, a world lead athlete. And, you know, with Ireland without her and the team aren't, you know, they're not really going to be kicking on. So they need her, maybe not in the first round, but certainly when they get out there. So then there is McGean running so, so well. So her confidence is bound to be buoyed up too by that brilliant time that she ran. So, look, those are the three things to watch for. The relay, Kieran McGinn and Adelecki.
Listen, we look forward to them. Patsy, as always, many thanks for joining us, and enjoy the championships over the next few days.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashin.
Okay, moving on now to Gaelic Games, and the Donegal Senior Ladies are back in action this weekend. They start their All-Ireland Senior Football Championship campaign against Kerry in round one of Group 2. The match is at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, and it starts at 1:05 this coming Sunday afternoon. Donegal, of course, missed out in promotion in the league. They lost out after extra time so narrowly to Armagh a number of weeks ago, just missing out on the Ulster title. But they've refocused now for the All-Ireland Series, and I'm delighted to say joining us on the programme tonight is the Donegal Senior Ladies Manager, John McNulty. John, you're welcome back to the airwaves of Highland.
Thanks, Oisin. How are you?
I'm not too bad, John. And I was thinking just before this interview this week, the Ulster final, I was casting my memory back to it. There was so much talk about Armagh and how big an underdog Donegal was. And then on the game then, you just put it up to Armagh. You took it to extra time. You just were really, really close in winning that game. And it's hard to stomach a defeat at times having got so close. But going into the All-Ireland Series now, what's the group of girls taken away from that experience, do you think?
Well, Arjun, I think initially after the game, you know, you were naturally disappointed. And when we got back to training the following Wednesday, you could see the disappointment was starting to lift. And, you know, the girls started to believe in the performance that they put in and kind of realised, well, you know what, if we can continue to do this and be at this level, you know, that we would be able to compete with a lot of teams in the All-Ireland Series. So from then on, you know, it has been positive, and our training has been going well this last number of weeks. And we're really, you know, probably looking forward now to Kerry and see, can we progress from the match in the Ulster final, and can we get that bit stronger on the game and actually try and win the game? That's probably where we're looking at now.
Yeah. There was no pressure on you to get into the Ulster final. When you look at the league, maybe was there a bit more pressure on the group during the league that you were chasing promotion, and maybe that had an effect on things? But when the shackles were off and there was no pressure, you've seen the way the group can maximise their potential.
I think there's probably another strand to that too, Oisin, is that we were getting together probably for the first time in those first number of league matches, was trial and error and a lot of things to see where we were good, maybe where we weren't. And that took time to figure out, and certain players and what positions suited. So there was a lot of newness in all that, and we had to figure it out. And I think then having maybe the 5 or 6 weeks off from the league to the Ulster final was maybe in a way a blessing, because we were able to work on things in training, and we were able to play a few challenge games, and we're able to nail down positions for people and what we thought would work best for them. And I think that's really the difference over the league and the championship so far.
And from your own perspective as the manager, what was the most, I know there was disappointment and defeat, but I'm sure there was a lot of pleasing aspects on reflection for yourself, John, when you've seen the way the girls performed.
Oh, absolutely. I really put down to the girls. I mean, their work rate and their desire, you know, was serious. And the team spirit really on the day, you know, never to give in. And they really worked hard towards one another. And what we'd worked on in training, they brought to the game, and they carried it out. And you can't ask any more than that. And that's, again, what we'll be looking to do on Sunday. I still say we didn't get over the line in terms of getting the win, which ultimately we wanted. So from that point of view, we'll be trying to correct that for Sunday. And now we know we're faced with a huge challenge with Kerry, because they've been in the All-Ireland final and they're in the league final this year. So, I mean, they're a serious team. So we know we're up against it again on Sunday. But again, that's up to us to bring our game and bring our performance.
Yeah. Is there a feeling in the group then that you can beat the Kingdom at the weekend? You can take the one against Kerry?
Well, I always think you have to have that in your team anyway. Any day you go out, surely you'll be saying they're massive favourites for the game, but no different to Armagh. I mean, we will set ourselves out and look to see what we can do. And obviously we'll always try and win the game. Whether we can or not will remain to be seen on the day, but we'll be going with the intention of doing our best and seeing where that takes us.
Yeah. There's a very good mix of sort of young and experienced girls in the group now, John. Obviously you've got the likes of Niamh and Kitty, who are always given advice to the younger girls, but there was quite a few of them stepped up in the Ulster final. And you knew from the underage ranks that a lot of these young girls have got a serious bit of potential. But come Ulster final day, they started to show that, so they did.
Yeah, and they did. And I think that was probably the test for us to see, could we go to that level? And for those girls, that would obviously give them huge confidence for themselves on a personal level. And that's what you want to try to keep to develop now and even move on further and see what they can produce at their highest level of playing.
Yeah. And I think there's no pressure this weekend again, John.
I know. I mean, there's no pressure. I mean, I think you have you know, All-Ireland finalists and All-Ireland League finalists coming to Ballybofey. It's a big day when you take Kerry to Ballybofey, and we're looking forward. I mean, they have some outstanding players. I mean, when you look at the Murahurty, and you know, you have top forwards like O'Leary and Dineen, you know, there's top quality forwards, and they're all very good footballers. So we know we're going to be up against it in terms of that, but then that's our challenge, and that's really we're looking forward to playing a big team like Kerry in Ballybofey, and we hope have a good crowd on Sunday to cheer us on.
Yeah, it's the All-Ireland Series. It's a small group. There's only three teams in each group. A win either this weekend or one maybe in the next game away to Waterford, that's good enough for a place in the knockout stage, John, isn't it?
Yes, it should be. Depending on, you know, unless that every team beats each other and you end up on, the three teams end up on 2 points in some shape or form. But usually a win would probably take you through to the quarterfinals. So we'll just have to see how we get on at Kerry first, and then obviously 2 weeks again when we go to Waterford, and we'll have to look at it after that.
Yeah. Just finally, John, how's the group shaping up injury-wise after that Ulster final? You've had a number of weeks now. Will you have everybody available at the weekend?
Yeah, more or less everybody will be available. There might be one or two that are, you know, slight knocks, but I think in general we'll have most of the squad available to us for Sunday, so we should be all good to go.
Okay, listen, John, thanks for talking to us, and the very best of luck against Kerry this weekend in Letterkenny.
Thank you very much, Oisin.
So Donegal playing Kerry in round one, group two of the All-Ireland Championship on Sunday. Also on Sunday, two other North West counties are in action as well. Tyrone are playing Wicklow in the Intermediate Championship, and Derry are away to Fermanagh in the Junior Championship. All-Ireland Under-14 Ladies Silver Final is taking place this coming Saturday afternoon in Carrigagallen in County Leitrim. Donegal are playing Offaly in the fixture. 2 o'clock is the start time. And the young girls from Donegal are gunning for an All-Ireland title, and we wish them the very best of luck there. There's quite a few All-Ireland Minor Championship fixtures on this weekend, and the three North West counties are all involved. Donegal, of course, are playing in the second tier of the minors, and they've got a semi-final against Kildare in Clonus on Saturday. That one throws in at 3 o'clock, but before that, Tyrone are playing Cavan in the other semi-final, and there's a 1 o'clock start at St Chernock's Park for that one as well. So we could have both Tyrone and Donegal, if they do the business on Saturday, meeting in the All-Ireland Minor Tier 2 Championship final. Derry are, of course, the Ulster champions. They are playing in the top tier of the minor championship, and they've got a quarter final on Saturday as well at Kingspan Breffni Park in Cavan. Dublin is the opposition, and that one starts at 1 o'clock. There's a full programme of all county league matches here in Donegal this weekend. We'll start with Division 1. The leaders heading into the weekend are Gador. They've got a fixture on Sunday against Glenfinn. But before that, St Unans could be back top of the table. They play Downings in Division 1 on Saturday. Those two are two of six fixtures in the top flight. Elsewhere in Division 2, the leaders are Killybegs. The Funthra men are heading to the Burn Road to play Termon on a Saturday night, while second place for Masters are involved in one of three fixtures on Sunday as they take on Clohanilly. And there's two teams sitting joint top of Division 3, and Convoy and Carndonagh. Now, Convoy can move ahead on their own on Saturday if they take victory at Nivolton, while Carndonagh are playing at home against Pettico this coming Sunday afternoon. On to boxing. The National Cadet Championships are being held at the National Stadium in Dublin this weekend, and there's two Donegal fighters in action on Saturday. Roisin Hegarty from Letterkenny, who boxes out of Elias Golden Gloves, fights Ruby Cullen of St Catharines in the 60kg quarter final, while Dunfanaghy's Eddie Harkin goes up against Brooklyn O'Brien of Cashel Vale in the semi-final of the 52kg category, as both, of course, look to progress in their respective championships this weekend. Now, let's turn our attention to horse racing. And the latest young jockey from the county to be making his mark across channel in England is Brandon Wilkie, a Donegal native. And he played GA at a young age for Glen Swilly, but he's got the bug for the horses and he's excelling in his chosen sport. Just on the weekend past in Hamilton, he had a 31-1 double. In recent years, he decided to make the move as an apprentice to the UK. And that move seems to be working out very, very well. Let's hear about it now, and we'll hear from Brandon. Earlier today, I joined him before he headed off to Haydock, where he's a number of rides today. He's also got a busy schedule this week, but he's been telling me how things have been progressing since his move across channel to England. We'll start with what wasn't a bad Sunday for you, Brandon. A 31-1 double in Hamilton last weekend, which wasn't a bad couple of hours riding.
No, it's grand, and the top half of the Sunday too, it's all right. Yeah. Now, yeah, them Sunday series, good value handicaps, so no, it was a brilliant day.
Yeah, you got the Jockey Cup that day too, didn't you, on Sunday?
Yeah, we got the most points there for the Jockey Cup. Yeah, I think I finished on 25 points for the day, so yeah, we got the 10 grand bonus.
Yeah. You had three races that day, two winners and a second. Is that right?
Yeah. All went perfectly,
All went perfect. It's good when it all comes together and it clicks together on a afternoon's racing, isn't it?
No, that's it, yeah. Look, we had three nice rides, like they were grand horses, but, you know, I was going up there with no mad expectations. We were just hoping to get in the placings, really, but now for the two of them to go win, and then the third horse finished a good second then, so no, it was a great day.
And you have a busy few days ahead as well. You're in Haydock today, and Goodwood's coming up, and there's a few more over the next few days for you.
Yeah, no, we're flat out at the minute anyway, thanks be to God. Two at Haydock today, down to Goodwood tomorrow, and back up to Catrick on Saturday there, not for busy.
Yeah, and obviously another young man from Donegal, Oisin Orr, is over in England as well, doing most of his riding over there. He had a big Monday where he had four winners, and I'm sure you'd be speaking to Oisin quite regular, do you?
Yeah, I'll be chatting to Oisin there most days now, yeah, and it's great, he's doing so well and all now, and we're putting a bit of Donegal on the map anyway.
Yeah, I remember Oisin when he first met his breakthrough coming out of apprentice, and now you find yourself in the apprentice arena. Is Oisin there on hand to give you regular advice, is it?
Look, you'd have no problem going up to Oisin and asking him about any sort of horse, or asking him if you've done something wrong, now he'd tell you. And no, it's good just to have someone from home as well, I suppose, over here, you know, it's a big help, especially to be such a good rider himself.
Yeah. Why did you make the decision to go race in England, Brandon?
It was more, I was down in Kildare with Eddie Harty on the Curragh, they gave me the idea, a bit easier to get going over here in England, and kind of you nearly hit the ground running when you're over here with a lot of racing and all that, you know, much more opportunities over here, kind of.
Yeah. And how are you finding life under the Carol Burke stable?
I'm loving it now. It's a brilliant place to be working. Excited place to go in the morning. Like, it's nothing but good horses, really, in there. You're in there in the mornings now riding proper horses. Makes the job a lot easier.
Yeah. And where did your sort of love for the racing start, Brandon? Obviously, you were at a very young age and you were in the ponies here in Ireland. How long ago was that?
I think I started riding the horses when I was about 11 or so, and started getting into the pony racing, flapping up there. I was about 12 or 13. I got into it with cousins of mine, the Sweeneys there of Old Town. They had a few pony racers and said, "Will you come over and sit on one someday?" And I think it was the bug bit me then.
Yeah, you were playing a bit of football, football at that time too. That sort of went to the wayside, did it?
That was it. Yeah, we were doing a whole heap. We were boxing, we were doing football, we were playing hardly the whole lot. It was all thrown in, but got the bite of the bug for the horses anyway, the speed of the horses, it all went out the window.
Yeah, well, listen, you're going very well at the moment, and I take it you're enjoying your time and how the career is going at the minute, Brandon, are you?
That's it, yeah. Look, very busy, so keeping busy is the main thing anyway, and look, it makes it easier when you're getting them nice sort of winners.
Yeah, and where do you want to go in your career? Obviously, we see the likes of Dylan now that you know very well, and you'd be speaking to him when he's over in England. Dylan has now progressed, having been apprentice champion jockey, and now he's getting some very, very strong rides, obviously under Joseph, and he's done a couple with Aidan O'Brien as well. We see where Oisin is with Richard Fahey. You were telling me before we started the interview, Fahey had like 9 winners in the last couple of days, so obviously a big name on the UK circuit. Where does Brandon Wilkie want to go now over the next couple of years?
Yeah, look, if it would be a dream to end up like any of them boys, you know, just, I suppose, I mean, it's just keeping people happy and keeping momentum, and that's how you can get to there, you know. But yeah, not to be high profile kind of jockey in the next few years would be pure dream now. Yeah, could land a decent job now and stuff like that. But the manager's just keeping lads happy now and riding consistent winners, so you'll get there.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're happy too, Brandon, that's the main thing.
Aye.
Okay, listen, thanks for joining us, Brandon. I know you're talking to us here en route to Haydock this afternoon, but thanks for speaking with us. Well done on your double last week, and hopefully we'll see a few more doubles from you over the next couple of weeks.
Lovely, good man. Thank you.
That's Brandon Wilkie, the latest Donegal jockey, who's starting to show excellent form on the horse racing front, and it was good to catch up and good to speak to him earlier on today. Just finally, on the cricket front, there is action in the North West Premier Leagues. We'll start with Section 2 because the leaders are St Johnstone. They're playing Bonds Glen on Saturday afternoon, looking to keep up that winning form. Second place, Glendermot host Strabane. Burndenna take on Fox Lodge, and Ballyspallan play the Ned. When in Section 1 on Saturday, there's a three-way tie at the top. Brady, Dunamana and Brigade. Brady and Dunamana have home fixtures against Eglinton and Ardmore, while Brigade on Saturday are on the road at New Buildings. Kelly Clooney are taking on Coleraine and the other fixture in that section. And there's cup games penciled in for Sunday in the Irish Senior Cup. There's just one North West side left. Brigade are taking on Leinster. In the National Cup, St Johnstone have a home tie against Terenure. Fox Lodge play Temple Patrick. The Ned meet Donaghcloney Mill. Strabane are hosting Derryahy, and Ballyspallan are on the road as they go to Lauraville. That's your cricket fixtures, and that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, HighlandRadio.com. Until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.